We continue our learning Lili Nishmas Davi B'Menach Rishon Ham Yaakov B'Pinchas Aliyo. We're in Bavakama Perigud Mishnah Yud. Mochin Shahakoves Motzi Hara Elu Shalo. Here we're speaking about leftover material. Mochin are pieces or shreds of wool that the launderer is pulling out of clothing that he launders. So here the Mishnah says he's able to keep them. He's whitening the wool. Certain particles come out when he rinses it. He's able to keep them. We assume since they're very small, the owner of that wool doesn't care if someone keeps them. And since he's Mochel on them, we assume the koves is able to keep them. But if the sorek, someone who's combing wool, and here there are significant, substantial pieces of wool that come off, we don't assume the owner who gave the wool comber the wool is going to be mochel on it, and therefore the sorek has to return them to the balabais. Hakoves notel shlosha chutim vehein shelo. What do I mean, three threads? So this is the launderer, and there was a custom to weave three threads of a different color at the end of a garment made out of wool. The launderer would pull them out, he would straighten out the garment, make it look nice, clean it, and whiten it, etc. And since these were woven a little bit away from the fabric itself for the garment, so we don't assume that this is really part of the garment at all. And we assume that these usually come out when you launder the garment, and the balabais is mochel on it. And therefore we allow the koves to take these three chutim up, and he's able to keep them. But yosim he came, but if there's but more than that, so he pulls out more than these three chutim, then harei l'shel balabais, then they belong to the balabais. In fact, the Tur explains in Choshen Mishpat that they all belong to the balabais. Once the koves took out more than he should have, so therefore he took out more than three, let's say he took out five threads, so then all of those five threads have to be returned to the balabais. Ima yohash shachor al gabe halavan, let's say you have black threads that were woven into the edge of a white garment, then no telas hakol v'hein shelo, then the koves, the launderer, is able to take all of the black threads off, even more than three, because the black threads anyway are not, you have a white garment, you don't want them on there, he's able to keep them. You have a tailor, and the tailor left off after he finished doing all of the sewing, and he has leftover piece of thread that is enough to sew with. We assume it's a thread that's the length of two needles. Then that's going to belong to balabais. We don't assume that balabais is mochel on it because that's a significant piece of thread, the length of a thread. Umatz the shehishelosh shalosh, or a patch of material that's 3x3 etzbos. We may know 3x3 etzbos in the context of the laws of tumah. That's a minimum size of something, a patch that's mekabel tumah because it has significance. It's substantial. Can be used as a patch. Anything smaller is insignificant. So if it's a chut, a thread that can be used to sew, or it's a matlis, as a patch of material that's left over, that's 3x3 etzbos, hare'elu shabalabais, the chayat, the tailor, is not able to keep them. He returns them to the homeowner. Some have the girsa chayav lahaziran labalabais. He, the chayat, the tailor, has to return it to balabais. What are we speaking about? We're talking about a case where the tailor could have completed the garment without leaving over this significant amount. By leaving it over, we get we're wondering, maybe the tailor had in mind that I kind of cut corners here, actually pun intended, so I'll be able to leave for myself a significant piece of material. Because of that, he has to return that to balabais. These that are significant, certainly they must be returned to balabais. These sizes, a chut kedei litforbo, and a matlis, a patch, that's shalosh al shalosh esbot. Ma shehar harash motziva ma'atzad hare'ilu shalo. We're going to discuss two different implements, a ma'atzad, which according to some is a small axe, as opposed to a kashil, which is a larger axe or a hatchet. Some say matzad is a plane, which is used to smooth out, the carpenter uses to smooth out the wood. Either way, the wood is given by the homeowner to the carpenter in order to make a desk, make a chair or something, and he has leftover wood shavings. If he's using the matzad, which is the smaller implement, so then it's small shavings, small chips, he's able to keep them, the babais is mochel on them. But if is using the kashil, the larger hatchet, which where the pieces are larger pieces of wood that come off, then shel balabais, he has to return to the balabais. We assume the balabais is not mochel on them because they're larger. If though the worker is working with the balabais, let's say Rav says he's a schir yom, he's salaried and he's on the premises of the balabais, then afhan soros, even the sawdust, very insignificant shel balabais, belongs to balabais because we assume that since he's working on the premises of the balabais, we assume that In fact, the Balabais, we assume that the Balabais wants them and is not mochel on them because the worker is working there. This would be true even if it's not necessarily schir yom. Schir yom is the most common that's working on the premise of Balabais. But let's say the carpenter is, a contractor is not a salaried worker, but nonetheless he's working on the Balabais' premises. So then he also would have to leave even the sawdust for the Balabais. Slik Maseches Bava Kama, we begin Maseches Bava Metzia. By way of introduction, generally speaking, we have the principle of Hamotzi Mechavera Olavaraya. If Reuven is holding on to anything, holding on to an object, holding on to money, we assume that that belongs to him. He is the Muchzak. And if Shimon wants that, he would have to bring Edim, Ra'aya, proof with Edim, then in fact that item does not belong to Reuven, but belongs to him, it belongs to Shimon. So here our Mishnah is speaking about a case where you don't have one person who is a Muchzak, but actually both of them. They both come into Beis Din holding on to a talis. Shnaim ochas in betalis, two people come into Beis Din holding on to a talis. Ze omer ani mitzasiya ve ze omer ani mitzasiya. We're speaking about a case where the talis was hefker, and we want to know who is the one who acquired it from hefker. And Reuven and Shimon both say, I found it. Not only that, ze omer kulo shali ve ze omer kulo shali. Reuven says the whole thing is mine, and Shimon says the whole thing is mine. So the Gemara explains that that seems to be redundant. If I found it, I say I found it, that means that I'm saying the whole thing belongs to me. So therefore the Gemara says that this actually is a second case. What's the second case? So what is Kula Shali? Kula Shali is not any mitzasiyah. That's a case of Mekach u'Memkar. What happened is each person makes a taina, makes a claim. I bought this talis. Shimon and Levi say I bought it. Shimon says I bought it from Reuven, and Levi says I bought it from Reuven. And we're speaking about a case where Reuven doesn't really remember who he sold it to. Both gave money to Reuven, but Reuven doesn't remember whether he sold it to Shimon or he sold it to Levi. That's the case. So the first case, ani mitzasiyah, means they're picking up an item from Hefker, and each one claims it belongs to him. Here they're both holding on to a talis and claiming Reuven sold it, or Shimon says Reuven sold it to me, and Levi claims no, Reuven sold it to me, and each one had already paid him. Obviously, the one is whoever ends up losing out was going to get his money back, but nonetheless, each one wants that talis. So says the Mishnah, what are they supposed to do? Each person, in the case of the second case of Mekach u'Memkar, case of buying and selling, in the first case, in the case of Hefker, I found this item from Hefker, each one has to take a Shmua, and then if they take this Shmua, we're going to split it. What's the formula of the Shmua? Each one takes a Shmua, I don't own less than half of this item, and once they do that, I don't own less than half of this talis, then they split it. The Gemara wants to know what's the very strange formula for a Shmua. Usually you swear, this is what I owe. So the Gemara explains why you can't swear that this belongs to me. This is what I've acquired. Why don't you do that? Because since the shavua that you take is not going to acquire you the whole thing, we know we're going to split it. We don't want you to, almost like sounds like checker. I own the whole thing. And therefore, but I only get up and I'm getting half. So we don't want to take a shvua that sounds like that's going to be different than what you're going to end up acquiring. Okay, so why don't you take a shvua that I own half? Can't take that shvua either because you don't believe you own half. But let's also check it. You believe you own the entire thing. So what should you say? Well, I don't own less than half. And if I say that, so then that's true. The potential that I may own the whole thing, I don't own less than half, so then that is the proper formula for the shvua. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that this shvua is a takanas chachanim. There are many possibilities Gemara offers as to why, what the nature of this shvua is. We have many shvuos in the Torah. We have a shvua in Echad. We have shvua demodim and mitzas. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion that this shvua is a shvua that with the chachanim instituted. Why is that? Because we don't want people, really, maybe we should split it evenly without taking the shvua, but we don't want people to go and grab a talis from his friend and say, this belongs to me. If anyone could do that without having to take a shvua is supposed to scare people. So people of the Rishonim assume that people are more scared to steal than they are, they're more scared to swear falsely than they are to steal. So I'm not afraid to steal, but once again, I take a shvua, now of course I'm going to tell the truth. So the shvua is supposed to frighten people in order to tell the truth and make sure that they don't they don't take something that doesn't belong to them. Gemara also says that the Mishnah's cases where each one, Reuven and Shimon, are holding onto this talus, let's say the first case of Mitzia, are holding onto the edge of the talus. Each one is holding on to the edge, not a significant part of the talus, but each one has the fringes, is holding on the side. But if they're really holding on to a significant part of the talus, each one takes up until where his hands are holding on to. And then the rest of it that they're not holding on to, so then they're going to split with a shvuah. Then the Mishnah says, Zeomer kulo shali vezeomer chetzel shali. Here we have a case where one says, the whole talus belongs to me. The other one says, half the talus belongs to me. So, Omer kulo shali shavash she'elo papapochos mishlosha chalakim. The one who says the whole talus is mine, he should swear that he doesn't own less than 3/4 of that talus. Remember, one half of it, he says, I'm not. The other one who says half of it belongs to me, he's ignoring the other half. The other half certainly doesn't belong to me. The whole dispute now is over the second half. So, in fact, that's exactly what happens. The one who says kulosli says, I don't own less than 3/4. Obviously, one half automatically is this. And then there's the dispute over the other half. Well, I don't own less than half of that. So altogether, it's 3/4. Well, Omer, chetzeshali, the one who claims half is mine, yishava she'ela b'pachos mirevia, he should swear, I don't own less than 1/4 of the entire thing, which is half, of course, of what he's claiming. And after they take that shua, zeno tel shlosha chalokim, the first one says, who claimed that kulosli takes 3/4. The one who claimed chetzeshali, no tel revia, takes 1/4.